All right, so first of all, just want to pick up one thing from yesterday. So in the Yad Ramah, so he mentions it openly when we say that the coin of Acha Breda Ravika, that Midaraisa, Bodos of Oschad, Hejot Nami Kasher, he says, Vahu de Gomir. Viafagav de Loavi Mumcha. It means to say, he's Gomir means he's learned. He has to be a learned person, just not a Mumcha. Yechsiv Tishbot Amisecha, Vyachid de Gomir Mashma. So he says Tishbot is singular, and how do you know that it means he's learned? Tichsiv b'tzedek Tishbot amisecha. So it has to be a guy who knows his stuff. Can't just be a slouch. Okay. All right. So we're going to continue in the Ran, and it's a fascinating Ran. He really lays out, the basics of what's going on over here. A little bit tough. To follow, but I think it's important. Alright, so let's pick up in the Ran. What's the Dibur? It's in the one who Bidinu.
Yeah.
The big one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Alright, so the Ran explains like this. So Rabbi Hanina is saying that all Dine Mominus, whether it's gezelos v'chavolos or hodos v'halvaos, really need rish v'chakira midaraisa and mumcha midaraisa, because that's what the Rabbi Hanina was saying. He said that dinei mominus need rish v'chakira midaraisa, and dinei mominus, we know, really basically refers to all dinei mominus, right? Echad dinei mominus v'echad dinei nefashos b'drish v'chakira. That's not talking about hados v'avos. It's talking about all dinei mominus, even gezeilos v'chavolos. And it requires mumchin, because he's learning Yiruv Parshios, right? But in order not to close the door in front of loans. In front of lenders, they loosen the requirement of drish v'chakira, right? Because they're worried that maybe the lender might be worried that he'll lose his loan.
You mean mafkia?
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't doing a real translation here. Okay, so they remove that requirement of drish v'chakira, and so too he says, that's by loans. That's in terms of making loans. But what about gezeilos v'chavolos? So now he's introducing us to the there's another concern, right? What did Rabbi Hanina say? Right. See, it's interesting. He only says shalot hinaldos v'chavolos, but the Ran is learning. It also means gezeilos v'chavolos.
He says dinei mominus.
Because he says dinei mominus. So I guess he's learning. We're only taking the.
It goes to everything.
So how does it apply by gezeilos v'chavolos? That not that you're going to by loans. We don't want to discourage loans. And by gezeilos v'chavolos, we don't want to encourage gezeilos v'chavolos. So if we have a system that makes it hard to hold a chovel of mazik responsible, that's going to encourage people to, or at least it's going to remove the...
discourage.
Yeah. It's going to remove, what's the...
Deterrent.
It's going to remove the deterrent of prosecution. Okay. Ulefikach tiknu shlo yutzrichin drish v'chakira umiu mumchin bo'inan. So Rabbi Hanina's statement alone only applies to drish v'chakira, right? But they still required mumchin. Okay. Why? That's the ikar memra of Rabbi Hanina. So the Gemara says that just like Rabbi Hanina says that they made the takana b'chol dinei mominus not to require drish v'chakira, so too they made another takana. that by hodos v'avos you shouldn't need mumchen, not in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz, in order not to close the door in front of the, in order not to stop the prevent loans. Because if the malva can't collect his chov without mumchen, he's not going to lend either. So in other words, so there's two things. One thing is what? One thing is the process of Jewish v'chakira. That's something that's going to, know is the evidence. The evidence that you can provide. If you're worried that your evidence is going to be, that you're going to have a hard time providing the evidence because of Jewish v'chakira, that's one reason why someone's going to stop lending, right? And also that will have the effect that a person will feel that he'll be able to get away with gezeilas v'chavolos. And the other thing is that in terms of making the loan, if a person knows that he has to find mumchen to collect his debt, he's going to be less likely to make the loan. So therefore, by hodos v'halvaos, they reduced it on both levels. Not only is there no Jewish hakira, but you don't have to have mumchen. But by gezeilas v'chavolos in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't make that takana. Right? There's no need to lower the requirements of mumchen, because mumchen are available in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is mumchen are that they have smicha, and the smicha comes from Bnei Yisrael, so they were available then, in the time of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was from in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he said like this. That what? That there's two things. Dine mamonos, meaning hodos valvos, is three hetjotos, because of the second takana. In other words, you know, even in Eretz Yisrael, you have to say the situation was that mumchen are available, but they're still harder to get. Okay, so in terms of making the loans, any type of impediment is going to reduce the amount of loans being made. Okay, but in terms of gezeilas v'chavolos, as long as the mazik knows that mumchen are available, he knows for sure the nizak will go to great lengths to collect his money. So when, in terms of the nizak, we know the nizak will find the mumchen, because that's in his interest. He's already at a loss, and he needs mumchen to collect, so he'll find the mumchen. So therefore, the deterrent will be in place for gezeilas v'chavolos, right? But in terms of the malveh, he's going to say to himself, it's going to be my responsibility to chase after the mumchen if I make this loan. It's true they're available, but they're still harder to find. So he'll decline to make the loan if he has to chase after, if he has to go find mumchen to collect. Right? It's basic economic psychology. Right? Psychoeconomics. Right? Okay. Right, but that's an Eretz Yisrael. A lot to keep together here. Right, that's an Eretz Yisrael. But in Bavel, there are no mumchen at all. Okay, so if we don't permit the hegiotos, even by gezeilas v'chavolos, then we'll open up the door to gozlin v'chomsin. And for the same reason, sheitiru kol dine mamna shlo yitzchul drishul chakira min atamahu ba'atzmo yitiru gzeilos shetiyen nigvos bavel af al yidei idiotos. So for that same reason, meaning to say, to facilitate, you know, the proper order of society, and not to increase gazlanim, they said in bavel that they can collect by gezeilos, through hegiotos, on cases that are both common and have a loss. So that would be like shor b'shor, adam b'shor, dinei epikadon v'ashomrim, right? So all of those cases, even though they're chovel and mazik and gezel, in bovel they allowed them to collect them through hegiotos. So how does it go again? So it's simple. Yeah, he's just saying, you got to look at two factors. You got to look at the location and the type of case. In terms of halvaos, that's that's we want to encourage the person to put himself in a position. We don't want to discourage a person to make a loan, right? And making a loan is automatically putting yourself into a position where you need to a vulnerability. Correct. So any type of increased vulnerability is going to dissuade a person from going into that situation. So whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, whether you're in Bavel, if the case is Hodos Valvos, there's no requirement for Drish V'Chakira or Momchen. But by Gezeilos V'Chavolos, as long as the Mazik knows the Nizak has a recourse, he's not going to do it, right? So therefore, as long as he knows the din, as long as he knows he can be taken to din and prosecuted bedin, he's going to be dissuaded or deterred from being a gozel or a mazik. So therefore, as long as we get rid of the drisha of chakira, so the guy knows he'll have no escape once the din is brought, because they can't trip up, the adam can't be tripped up. As long as he's in the place where mumchen exists, we can leave the din that you need mumchen. So in Eretz Yisrael, where the mumchen exists, there's no reason to reduce it. Because even if, because as long as there's the presence of mumchen, it's going to be a deterrent. But in Bavel, where there are no mumchen, so now there's no recourse in that town. So therefore, in order to prevent the Gazlan and the Mazik, they had to allow what? Even Hedyodos. But basically he's saying it's basically, you know, Tikkun Olam over here. And they had to look at what was necessary to which requirements of Beis Din were necessary to reduce in order to facilitate the Tikkun Olam. Of two things, of encouraging good behavior and discouraging bad behavior. The Ran says it works through Hefker Beis Nefker. He says it before and he says it again later, right?
What does he mean by
that? Oh, that means to say, like we discussed the other day, that how can the Rabbanon empower someone who doesn't have a right to sit in the Beis Din Midaraisa to take money from this person and give it to another person? How can they demand that? So only through the process of Hefker Beis Nefker. So Hefker Beis Nefker means that the Beis Din has the authority to make decisions about in the monetary realm. They can nullify a person's ownership.
The din is not really stemming from the din itself. They're just saying after we have a score case, now we'll invoke the principle of Hefker.
That's right. That's correct. I mean, they don't have to do it consciously. That's implanted in them, is that they have that. They happen not to be there. Okay. But now he has like this. Very interesting question. So like this. There's a Gemara in Gittin by the case of a get me'usa. Okay, get me'usa means where you force someone to give a get. Okay. So it says Abaye found Rav Yosef. He was doing a get me'usa. And he said to him, "Vahanan hejotos anan." He says, "How can you force a get? It needs a Beis Din, apparently." He held. It needs to be. It's a mishpat. It needs Beis Din. Getting needs Beis Din. And we're hejotos. And the Braisa says, "Eile mishpatam asher tasim lifneihem. Lifneihem v'lo lifnei kusim." Lifneim v'lo lifnei hejodos. Okay. They get two exclusions from that. These are the mishpatim that you have to place before them. Who's before them? Before them means the smuchim. The judges who are smuchim. To the exclusion of gayish courts, arkos, and to the exclusion of hejodos. So he said to him, "Shlichu sayu ko avdinan." We're doing their shlichus. We're doing their shlichus. The shlichus of who? Of the smuchim. We're authorized by the smuchim to carry out these functions. Midi dahava ahodos vihavos. Just like hodos vihavos. Okay. Tough Gemara. So then he said back to him, what? Ihochi gezelos vichavolos nami. So then why don't we do gezelos vichavolos also? Ki avdinen shlichus, why can't we do that? So he says no. Ki avdinen shlichus ayu b'milsa de shchicha, b'milsa de lo shchicha, lo avdinen shlichus ayu. That's the Gemara. So once again, he saw him doing a get ma'usa. He says, what right do you have to do this? He says, we can't, you're a hedgeot and you need smuchim. So he says, no, we do the shlichus of the smuchim here. Just like hodos avos. So he says, okay, so do this. So why can't we do gzeles v'chavos as the shlichus of the smuchim? So he says, no, we only do the shlichus when it's what? When it's something that's shchiach. So the Ron's like this. There are a lot of problems with this Gemara. First of all, it's mashma that they didn't do gezelos v'chavolos. That they didn't do gezelos in Bavel. Because it wasn't Shiach. Okay. That's not our... We're not as concerned with that. And furthermore, what's the problem? Here's the real problem for us. It's mashma that why did they do hodos v'chavolos? Because of shlichus. Right? But here we say the reason is shlo tinil del splei loven. So that's the problem. I mean, that's the main problem. How come over? It's one of the main problems. Over there, over here, the Gemara says, how do we do hodos v'alvos without smuchim, with hejotos, shalotin aldelos? It was a separate takana of shalotin aldelos. But the Gemara over there says that we did hodos v'alvos because we're messengers of the, we're agents of the smuchim in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, and you can't say that they're both needed. That doesn't make sense. What do you need both reasons for? One would certainly be enough. But Al-Kisfar, what's the difference between the two answers? Because one is saying it's a takana, that they nullified the requirement. Right? Mm-hmm. The other is saying that they created some sort of an idea, that there's some sort of an idea that you can act on with the authority of the smuchim.
But only on milsadish.
Is that a new creation then? Or is that just using the mechanism of shlichus?
It's like giving deputizing the hejotos. But there still is a requirement of being related to smuchim ultimately. You still need some sort of a rishus from the smuchim. It still traces back to the authority of the smuchim, as opposed to saying now you don't need any stamp of approval at all. You don't need any stamp of authority at all. It's just shlo tinil delos, right? In other words, the difference between smuchim and shlichusayu would mean to say smuchim is the gavra, that the gavra intrinsically is the body of the authority. He is the authority himself. Shlichusayu means for particular actions you have authority over specific actions. You're not a gavra of the authority itself, but for this particular job, you're deputized. Okay, but it still is working under the framework of smicha. Just midaraisa, you have to be a certain gavra of smicha. It would seem, but they allowed people to take to act in a limited capacity to have a certain authority on an action, not in terms of the gavra. Okay, so that's his first question. Our first question. Divadidi kihechi de. So he says, it's a powerful proof. What do you need shlichus? What do you need the idea of shlichus? We got rid of drisha v'chakira, right? We got rid of drisha v'chakira. And you know, and shlichus sayu ka avdinan doesn't play into that at all. So you see, we can remove completely we can remove completely. In other words, may, he's saying maybe you'll say shalotin al delos b'fnei lovin is just a tam hadavar, but it, but is no real takana itself. You can't really undo the ikar min haTorah. You understand? You can't really undo completely the ikar min haTorah. If there's an ikar min haTorah of smuchin, so maybe you'll say shalotin al delos b'fnei lovin is a reason why we reduce the essential idea of smuchin to a shlichas of smuchin. But you need both. One is the motivation, and the other one is how it was actually done. But he says, but that's not true, because drish v'chakira was gotten rid of completely. And that's from shalotin al delos. So you see, shalotin al delos is not just a tama dover, it's not just the reason for doing something, it itself is a takana. Okay. So what's the reason for shlichus? The od kasha d'hasam mashma d'midrasha d'lefneim v'lo lefnei hadyotos ba'ina mumchin. V'im kein afilu l'man d'leis l'ir of parshios niboy mumchin m'lefneim. V'an namrinan d'man d'leis l'ir of parshios lo ba'ina mumchin. Interesting the way he frames that question. So the first question is what? Then the other question is what? We get mumchin from the parsha of Shomer Chinam. Elohim. But that Gemara is saying, where do we get the idea of mumchin? From lifneihem, v'lo lifnei hajotos. Okay? But then, according to that, even the one who doesn't learn Erev Parshios should have a daraisa of a mumcha. At least midaraisa should have one mumcha. At least the one should be a mumcha, right? But we don't say that. We say, if you have no Erev Parshios, then we told there's no mumchin at all. Right, but lifneim is should be there too. If lifneim is the reason for mumchin, that should always exist, whether you learn your parshas or not. Va'od kasha. The Rav Acha bray the Rav Ika domar midrash echad kasher mashma filu hejo u'midrasha the lifneim v'lo lifnei hajotos if silulu. Isn't that the same question?
Yes, same question.
Okay, so here's his answer. The very interesting answer. So he says like this. It's a beautiful approach to this answer, right? It says you have to differentiate between this sugi over here that we're involved with in Sanhedrin is talking about the validity of the din itself. Okay? The validity of the din itself. Im hu kosher be'ajotos imlo. V'hanafka me'irif parashios shu be'ikr hadin. She'amar Torah ad ho Elohim yavo dvar shneim. She'hem mumchin. V'im einon mumchin hadin posol midoraisa. Okay, let's think this over carefully. I mean, it's something that needs to be absorbed a little bit. In other words, we were talking about Hora yesterday, like a psak. Psak on a shaila of Isser and Heter. And the Ran is saying over here that by din, there has to be, there's something, there's the validity of din. Okay, by Isser and Heter, if I know that it's Usser, if I know that it's Mutter, then that's then I can trust the guy. If I know that guy, it's like I know the guy's a bucky in Issa V'Heter. So whatever his psak is, that has the validity of a good horo. And we'll get into it later. But once you get a horo one way, it's not so simple to get to try to shop around for another horo. It has a real validity. It has a real existence. It has a real
reality.
It has a real reality, exactly. Try not to use that word. So anyway, it's because of the semantics, you know, it didn't sound good. But anyway, so but over here, like we were saying yesterday, it seems like there's a reality that's being created. As by Issa V'Heter, you're sort of revealing something, right? You're paskening on the way the thing is. But by mominus, there's a riv, there's an argument between two people, right? And there's an idea of din. Not just saying what I think, not just saying what halachically the reality is. There's something more that's required. There's something more. There has to be a psak din that actually settles the account between the two people and stipulates the reality of the mominus. And therefore a person could be 100% right about the halacha. He could know it for sure. But does that have the effect of making this person's making this into his mamon? That's something more. That's something more. There's an extra requirement over there of is what he says din or not. So we could go to somebody and ask him his opinion. But if he's not a mumcha, this parsha is telling you, if these people are not mumchen and they make and they pronounce what they believe to be the reality, it doesn't have any effect. It has zero effect. Whereas if they were chachamim and it was a question about issa v'heter, then it would. Oh, that's going deeper over there. Okay, so but his point is, I want to think about it a little more, but his first point is that what? That this Gemara is, see that's what I'm, his point is this Gemara is talking about the validity of din. What do we mean by the validity of din? That's what I'm trying to understand a little better. If I go for a psak on trefus, so does the dayan render it a trefa? No. Does the dayan render it a trefa? He doesn't. I don't think you say he renders it a trefa. You say according to his das and his knowledge of Torah, this physical case embodies an ideal halacha of trefa. So I'll call this a trefa. No, is it? It under the principles of halacha, this animal has the indications of trefa, okay, but he's not pronouncing it in any sense. There was no prior reality that he's that he's overruling. There's no prior reality that he's undoing or settling. But if two people have a dispute, and they go to a dayan, he is pronouncing the reality going forward. He's establishing something now. The actual monetary rights of each individual.
We're all on the trip also.
So I say it's something new. Why? Yona, you want to say something? See, I would say like this. I was like this. The Torah says that there's a riv bein anashim. Okay? So that is a situation. That itself is a halachic situation. You understand? When I don't know if my animal's a trefa or not, that's not a halachic situation. Halacha doesn't have a case of a suffix trefa. There's a halacha that tells you this is a trefa, this is not a trefa. Did we do that Gemara in Yuma? There's no safe kape yishmaya, right? It's megali kape yishmaya. Torah's not going to talk about cases of safe trefa. So over there, it's just a question of the Torah has absolute rules for trefos and absolute rules for non-trefos, and I'm not sure which side this falls out on.
But it already is.
It already is. But the Torah says there's such a thing as an argument between people.
That itself is a thing. And it's settled by the Dayan. That's the starting point. The Riv Bein Hanoshim is the situation. And you can't say, well, there's a reality. No, no, no. Then you're saying that it's just a matter of one guy being, that's, the Torah doesn't treat it as a reality that's obscured to the parties. As an underlying, it's considered the primary case in its own right. Now it's trefa, the primary case of trefa is only absolute trefa and absolute not trefa. That's where everything starts. And the mistake is just because the principles are not clear to you. Okay, and the Baal Hora is going back to the originals. Right? But by din, the Torah says there's a starting point of a phenomenon of riv, argument between people, dispute. That itself is a cheftza. So you start with a cheftza of halachically, there's a halachic reality to the dispute, and therefore halachic reality to its settlement. And the question is, who has the authority to create that? Because the riv itself is recognized as a halachic phenomenon. You understand? So let's say you hold you need mumchen to create this halachic reality, but I went to my friend who's a gadol ador and I asked him his opinion, right? So what situation would I be in? Okay, let's keep this thought fresh in our minds. Okay, anyhow. You know what I'm saying? Like that's part of the challenge of you. We're trying to piece together the basic workings of Sanhedrin, of the Beis Din, and din means more than just someone's opinion. There's a reality to din. We'll have to see in the next few blot. I mean, it comes up more clearly. But anyway, so that's what this Gemara and this Parsha is talking about. That's the Parsha of Shomer Sachar. When there is the conflict between the Shomer and the owner, that's a halachic phenomenon of conflict. That's a halachic phenomenon itself. We don't break it down into any earlier state. That's the initial conditions. And then there's a resolution. Okay, so something is really happening. Something is really happening. We don't say that the resolution is just revealing something before. There was no before. It starts with the riv. We don't go before. Okay? So then you have to have a question of who has the authority to create such a phenomenon. That's one thing. But the Gemara in Gittin is talking about a completely different thing. And it's an amazing idea that he has over here. That even though that there's a separate Isser. In other words, one is a question of, is the din actually a din? Did they do anything? Or were they just speaking opinions? Did they have the force? Do they have the force of din itself or not? But regardless of that question, he says, is a separate iser to go to someone other than the mumcha for din. It's an iser. What's the iser? What's the iser? Because it's elevating people who don't have authority into you're crowning them with the crown of mumchen when they don't deserve it.
Meaning like it's a knock on the covered of the mumchen?
It's a knock on the covered of the mumchen.
The very, that's the reason why? It's not... it should be more of...
Kadesh lo right. He has two reasons. Kadesh lo yavo bar ko seyem shu iloi yirasam. He's saying iloi yirasam means the cause of their yira. I guess he's saying going to our cause is going to take you off of the path of Torah. Going to their courts is going to be is going to influence you, because their courts were the cause of their. Of the Agira. I'm not sure what he means by that. Or what?
Yeah,
oh, kidei shelo yishtamshu hadyotos bekeser mumchen. It's upsetting the words, if you believe that there's an idea of keser Torah, then to give an Amma Arts keser Torah is really degrading the whole idea of keser Torah. I mean, it's a distortion of the whole idea. Chumash. Ramban also has it. He mentions Ramban has it, and the Ramban also has that drasha.
So we're not worrying about the whole din itself, but we're worrying about the whole system, and that if we do this, we might come to dilute the system or ruin the system.
He says, he says, "Afbi shiudei hedus shazeh shiudei there shuras adin v'yadin lo kogin." Even though he knows they know what they're talking about. Oser losumu dayon v'litzok lo shiyochof es baldino ladon lefonov. It's oser for someone to go to a guy who's not a smuch, not a mumcha, and plead with him to force the other guy to come to din. V'hedyut atzmo oser ladon lahem, and the hedyut himself is oser to do the din, because he says it has to go dayanim hamumchen hasmuchim haMoshe Rabbeinu. Interesting. It's an interesting idea. What's that? Right. Let's think about the nature of this issue a little more. But how does he work out the pshat in the Gemara? So that's how he works out the pshat. That Abaye said to Rav Yosef, let's get this clear, okay? He says it's true that there's a takana, that the din is kosher behedyot. But what about the isser? How is that possible? What about the isser of lefneim v'lo lefnei hedyotos? V'ein koach b'chachomim levatel zeh ha'inyan. V'hu litol kisron shel mumchen. Apparently Abaye assumed Rav Yosef held that his maisa is a good maisa. Right? That his maisa was a good maisa. And he thought there was an idea. Abaye saw Rav Yosef, and he said he must assume that his maisa is a good maisa. But that may be true. It may be possible to make the maisa good, but how could you undo the iser of lefneim v'lo lefnei hedyotos? So there's, in other words, of course they wouldn't do such a thing. Of course it doesn't make sense to say that they would make the maisa good but not allow you to do it. Okay, but Abaye was saying to Rav Yosef, I understand you must think that the maisa is good. That's not, I'm not asking you from the tzad of whether of that. But even if you have some idea that you can make the maisa good, that you can make the din good, it's not possible to uproot this idea of lefneim v'lo lefnei hedyotos. He says, v'chein afal pisha yodeya sheha'osoi get mowil mitakarnas chachomim mikomakom lomo lo choshashu al iser lefneim v'lo lefnei hedyotos. I mean, he's just asking him for a limud.
The institution itself. He's saying, how does this institution even work?
I mean, he wasn't accusing him of anything. He's just asking him how it works.
Yeah, he's asking, how does this institution work? I still have another problem.
Right.
And that's what he's telling you.
I mean, he's asking him really to explain it to him. I mean, Rav Yosef was a Abaye's Rebbe,
yeah.
Historically speaking.
Right.
I mean, he was asking him, yeah. I understand how they can say it's good mitzad din, but mitzad kavod of the mumchen, how could they violate that? I mean, it's interesting. He holds that's harder to that you can't do away with. As you can say, halachically speaking, we'll consider this to be a ma'isa din. But you can't say that you're not. You can't say that by. You can't say that you're not doing the iser of taking the keser of mumchen and applying it to ajotos. That ma'isa iser you're definitely doing, and there's no hefker based in hefker by something like that. Right, that's just simply a ma'isa iser. So that's what he said to him. That what? That's what he said to him. He said, that's shlichus. That since they give us the right to do it, they're mochel and they're covered. Amazing. So then his answer was what? And that's what he meant. That's just like hodos v'ovos. That we also need this idea of shlichus in order to allow us to implement the takana of ne'ilas shlotin ol delas b'fnei lovin. Shlotin ol delas b'fnei lovin only takes care of the fact that the din will be din. But you see, they needed the shlichus to be mochel on the covered. So it's the same thing as that.
So is that to say that iser is conditional? It's not like an absolute iser.
That's right. Covered, you can be mochel on covered yields. So then what was his question back? So if you can tell me you do that by hodos vavos, what about gazelos v'chavalos? Right. So that's what he says. They didn't want to empower the hejotos any more than was necessary. So since in Eretz Yisrael, that what? They didn't need to allow the hejotos to be done gazelos v'chavalos. They didn't do it. Right, so that's why he says that what? That they gave rishus only on things that are shchiach. Because that's the din bavel. Din Eretz Yisrael is they didn't give them rishus on anything. They didn't give hejotos rishus on anything. But he only explained to him the din bavel. That on milsa de shchicha, they gave rishus.
He was talking about Eretz Yisrael and...
And he says, and then he just wraps up. According to Rav Acha Breid Ravika, he holds me the Reis of Chad is kosher, even one hedgeot. So according to him, you don't need shlichus. Except for those particular things that midaraisa you need mumkin for. Ubahanu amrinan lefneim velefnei hedgeotos. So wherever the Torah requires mumkin, that's where you'll need it. Not that it means, lefneim is not a source for saying you need mumkin. That's answering the other question. Because then you'd have a question of Acha Breid Ravika, you should always need mumkin. He's just saying that where the Torah authorizes mumchin or requires mumchin, to go to someone who's not that who's not a mumcha would be an iser of being crowning someone with the crown of mumchin that doesn't deserve it. But if the Torah doesn't require mumchin in this case, then there's no iser, of course. This is the sheet that the Rambani says. It's a beautiful answer. I mean, it really. But we have to think about what? Two things. We have to think a little more about the din, but I think that we should let it, you know, we should treat this as an opening of to that question and try to work on it and develop it as the sugyas go through. But we should also try to think about this, the nature of this isser. It's interesting. It's an interesting kind of an isser. It would be like giving kavod to someone who doesn't deserve kavod. I mean, that sounds like the nature of it. Right? But I think it has to do with what we were discussing the other day, that let's say I stand up for an Amaretz. So that doesn't take away from the covet of a Talmid Chacham. For whatever reason, I like this guy. But based in, when we say mumchen, when the Torah says you need a mumcha, that's a statement that this is an institution of national concern. This is something that has to do with the Am. And the mumchin are objectively defined as the ones who are in charge of taking care of the Am. So to treat someone else like a mumcha, it's not a personal thing. Whereas if I could say, look, I really think this guy is great, and I want to give him respect, fine, that's a personal thing. I want to give him respect. Personally, I want to do that. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? But to voluntarily go to someone who's not a mumcha, when the Torah says mumcha, that's indicating that objectively he is in a position of with regards to the Am. Because a mumcha is a position, is an objective position vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael. Someone I stand up for is just me to him. You understand? So I'm not upsetting any objective order. But the Torah laid down an objective order. There are things that have to do with the Klal, and only certain people are in the position of authority over the Klal. So if I start treating someone in the position that's of authority, that's violating an objective reality that the Torah is laying down. If I like this guy and I think that he's nice and I want to give him kavod, that's fine. That's not an objective. I'm not undoing it. I'm just adding my own mishigas. Fine. But I'm not soser an objective reality. But mumchin comes from a certain objective reality about the authority vis-a-vis the nation. It'd be like if I started treating someone like the President of the United States. He'd say it's a stira to the reality. It's a stira to the reality. You understand? So that's Eila Dvar Mishpat, Eila Mishpat Mishpat Lefneihem. Lefneihem means that you have to recognize that there's a certain objective order in terms of the Klal Yisrael. And you can't treat people and place them personally in a position. You can't personally decide that you think someone deserves to be and should be treated like a mumcha, which is an objective statement. You have Yisurim like that. I mean, the Ramban holds from these types of Yisurim. Like the Ramban holds when the Torah says lo yivak by for instance, the Torah says you can't sell Eretz Yisrael permanently. You can't sell your achuza on a permanently, right? So the Ramban holds that's an isser, even to do it, even though it won't work, is an isser. Okay, I say I have my achuza and I draw up a contract. This is permanently yours, so it's halachically not valid. But the Ramban holds, I believe, you know, that's still a Maisa Isser. Maisa Isser doesn't go only by what you accomplish. It could go by a Maisa that's against an objective reality. You understand? I think he also holds that by Bechor and Yerusha.
Giving money not to the Bechor.
Right.
Not giving the Kishan is an Isser.
Right. Right. But even things I think he holds that don't necessarily have an effect can be considered an Isser, like this. It's not considered anything, but you're expressing an ideal that's incorrect. But Maisa. Tamura is that well, but Tamura does that's true.
That's true. Whether even though you're not accomplishing.
Right.
Is it an
Isser? It's an Isser.
It's an
Isser. Right.